Welcome back, and happy Hanukkah. The eight-day celebration began at sunset last night, so for Chef Reina Simnagar, that marked the beginning of 8 nights of Balagan, Hebrew for mess or chaos. Reina is Jewish, but she was born and raised Catholic in Venezuela and married an Iranian, so her Hanukkah menu is infused with Persian spices and Latin American spirit. Her recent cookbook is Persian Food from the Non-Persian Bride. She joins us in the studio with some beautiful dishes. Welcome, Reina.
Thank you for having me.
And happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
We're reminded it's just the Festival of Lights. It celebrates the miracle of there being enough oil to light the lamps in the temple in Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
Very happy holiday. And you've brought dishes to sample. But first, just where does Hanukkah fit in sort of the culinary tapestry?
Everything and anything fried fits in this holiday, which is fabulous because anything you fry is delicious.
And first and foremost, latkes. Now, these are basically, they're just potato pancakes?
They're potato pancakes, but the truth is that they just basically have to be round and fried. And at this point, whatever it is that you put round and fried becomes a latke. And potatoes are the best because they are traditional. Potatoes are easy to find, and they're really the gift of the Ashkenazi. Ashkenazi Jews, or the Jews from Europe, are the gift to Jewish culinary world. But the truth is that other Jews from other parts of the world make latkes out of many other things. There's room for everybody and all kinds of tastes.
Well, and you have a Persian take on latkes. It's called sour apple latkes.
Here they are. They're really just absolutely completely made of apples. So they're really low in fat, extremely healthy.
Wait a minute.
And when you fry, can you believe it?
There's no potato
in there. There's a little bit of, you know, flour to keep it together. But there's sour apples in there, and they're so delicious when you taste them. They have, like, the sweetness to them, but then they have a little more tanginess at the end. It's such a delicious flavor, and they're good, very good with sour cream and very good with applesauce because they're meant to be sweet.
Okay, I'm going to really try good. One here. When you say sour apples, do you mean green or?
Green apples, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Green apples. Isn't that good?
Wonderful. Mm-mm. Wonderful. Pardon me. We will have all the recipes at hereandnow.org. You also have a version made with eggplant. Now, this has got to be the Persian part of your equation. You're married to a Persian man.
Yes. Actually, the apple one is also Persian. It's called the kuku. Usually, they make it really, really big. Imagine a latke in steroids. Huge. But right now, I made this bite-sized so we don't overeat right now because we're going to taste a lot of yummy things. This one is called Cuckoo Bottom June, and that means a latke made of eggplant. And I roast the eggplant, the way it becomes extremely delicious and smoky. And when the eggplant becomes very heavy in the middle, we fry it with onions. And instead of potato, you're using eggplant. That's just the only difference.
Delicious.
But they're really exotic and delicious, and it's really good. Really Middle Eastern and very exotic.
Very delicious. Let's talk about your own heritage, because we hear you were raised Catholic in Venezuela.
Yes.
Never knew that your family had Jewish heritage. We hear these stories often until you're about 12, when you discovered that they'd fled Spain after the Inquisition, and you converted to Judaism at 15.
Actually, I started the conversion around 15, and I finished around 20.
It took
a long time.
It took you years. But when you learned this, that you were actually Jewish, you had a Jewish heritage, you realized that there were actually clues in family recipes. How so?
Yes, absolutely. My grandmother had an obsession with eggplants, precisely. And eggplants are really, really rare in South America until I found out that it was actually Marrano Jews, these are the hidden Jews of Spain, that brought the eggplants with them from Europe to the Americas around the 1600s, which is when my family came to Venezuela.
So even though their heritage was kept a secret, obviously because they wanted to stay alive.
Yes.
Somehow they'd passed down the eggplant to your grandmother.
They did, because everything that you eat brings memories to certain occasions. It's like, it's almost like the things that you smell, that you eat, they stay on forever. That was not the only thing that they kept. They also kept on putting rocks on the graves, which was very annoying as a child.
It's a Jewish custom to
put rocks. I had no idea. I just thought my parents were so cheap that they didn't want to get flowers. And you know how difficult it is to find a rock in a manicured cemetery? It's horrible. It's so humiliating. That was the kind of thing you never tell your friends about.
That you put rocks
on a grave. Until I was 16 and I saw Schindler's List in the theater. And at the end of the movie, I saw that that's what Jews do, because they put rocks on a grave in the movie. And I was flabbergasted. I just came out of the movie theater saying, oh my gosh, there's nothing else more important in my life that I have to do than to become a Jew.
Wow. Well, then you marry an Iranian, a Persian. Is he also Jewish?
Yes.
And
from birth.
I think we have your mother-in-law here,
yes,
too.
Yes, he's here.
And so what did that add to your cooking?
Oh my gosh, my world completely changed. Of course, I always loved to cook, but I met him when I was very young. I met him when I was 18. And I was exposed to my mother-in-law's incredible cuisine. And this is a woman who, you know, she just like looks at a tomato and she just praises the color and the smell. And she just sees beauty in everything that she does in the kitchen. And I was really taken by that. So I wanted desperately to learn everything from her. And I did. She was very smart to teach me. Yeah. Now I can feed her son.
And us, too, yes. As it turns out. It's delicious. Let's look at some of the other things you've brought. I actually heard a great debate the other day. Two political talk show hosts suddenly went off track and started talking about jelly donuts at Hanukkah. Discuss, mm-hmm. You know, whether or not to have them. You've brought some here. We're not talking about the sort of store-bought jelly donuts. These are, well, tell us more about how you made these.
These are completely homemade. There's nothing like a donut that just came out of the oil sizzling and then also you inject it with like delicious jelly. And I actually make it with also cream because...
Oh, God.
I know. Come on. Here, you can even have jelly on top of cream. This is it's called pirashki in Farsi. So you have jelly donuts. In Hebrew, it's called sufganiyot. And these jelly donuts are usually filled with jelly, just like, you know, strawberry jelly, yeah. Grape jelly. In Iran, they fill them up with this cream. It's like vanilla cream. It's custard. And it's unbelievable.
We'll have the recipes again, but what's the key ingredient here?
The key ingredient in the donut dough is basically like a bread dough that you fry. And it has...
Oops, sorry.
Just like, that's the cream coming out.
Yeah, we have to explain that you've filled up these containers with the cream, so I just put some out there. Okay, all right.
That's the cream coming out. The donut is made with like a bread dough, and it grows. It has yeast in it. It grows just like a bread, and you fry it on the oil. And the oil has to be really nice and hot, around 350 for him to be able to cook inside. And then the cream is made with condensed milk and egg yolks, and it's just really everything homemade. Everything in my home is homemade.
That's what it is. It tastes almost like a key lime pie filling without the key, mm-hmm. the lime part. But you mentioned the frying. You have to be careful when frying. As you said, you got a lot of hot oil there.
You do. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think that people need to address what kind of oil they're using. And there's a lot of oils in the supermarket. You see a wall of oil filled with oil. And what oils do I use? So olive oil, you know, grapeseed oil. Canola oil is the best oil for frying because the smoking point is really high. And if you want to keep it always at a 350, 375 degrees, you can have a candy thermometer inside of your oil. The oil, as long as you keep it in the right temperature, it will not penetrate your food. It will just make it really delicious, crunchy, luscious in the outside and soft and tender in the inside. That's extremely important. If you're shallow frying, you want to use an infrared thermometer, which will tell you without having to put the thermometer in. So it's just a matter of keeping it at the right temperature.
And it's a reminder, there is so much oil because it's in celebration of there being enough oil to light the lights.
That's right.
Reina Simnagar, the author of Persian Food from the Non-Persian Bride. Again, she was raised in Venezuela, a Catholic.
Yes.
Discovered that she was actually a descendant of Jews who'd fled the Inquisition in Spain and married an Iranian. Quite a story, but it also makes for a wonderful culinary story, too. And we see it spread out before us. Reina, thank you so much, and happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you, too.
A taste of Ladino music. This is the language of Spanish Sephardic Jews to go with the Hanukkah feast. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Hanukkah linda está aquí. Ocho candelas para mí.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
Ocho candelas para mí.
PRI, Public Radio International.